Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. Second half of the show rolling right now here on 106.7 The Fan. Grant Dandy coming up at 2. They'll have Ryan Kerrigan joining them this afternoon. Get their thoughts on Ryan's future. Certainly been great representative of himself and the Washington football franchise during his time here. He'll discuss it with Grant and Danny coming up this afternoon. Pleased to be joined now by Fred Katz of The Athletic to talk about situation with the Wizards, which seems to be getting worse before it gets better. Fred, appreciate some time on this Friday. How are you, sir?
I'm all right, thanks. Hope you guys are doing well.
Doing the best we can, man. Hanging out here in the basement, just trying to stay safe, just like everybody else. Out there, my friend. Look, the Washington situation, certainly right now, we seem to be taking more steps toward the negative side here in terms of five guys allegedly now testing positive for this team. And, you know, right now in the short term, Fred, you know, it may be a while before we see this team play another game, won't it?
Yeah, that's definitely possible. I mean, they had Wednesday's game against the Jazz canceled. They have tonight's game against the Pistons canceled, or I should say not canceled, but postponed. And,
sure.
And from my vantage point, you know, they're scheduled as of now to play a Sunday, Monday back-to-back, both games against the Cavaliers. I wouldn't be surprised if those games didn't happen, if those games got postponed until later in the season. And who knows after that? I mean, it really depends on how contact tracing goes, which is, you know, incredibly unpredictable, and you can't really say contact tracing went this way in one time and didn't go this way another time, and you can't use it to predict how it might go in different situations. So, you know, as of now, the team's not doing basketball activities. I wouldn't be surprised if that persisted through the weekend. And I think the ultimate objective is just kind of the obvious, just quarantine, isolate, stay healthy, you know, all the obvious things that everybody else in the real world is going on in regular life.
You know, clearly, you know, they were able to pull this off in the bubble, you know, a few months ago pretty successfully. But even if every guy, you know, tries to do their best here, essentially to bubble themselves every day is what you're asking them to do, you know, with this COVID situation, you know, it finds people. It finds you. Sometimes it's just random. Sometimes it's bad luck. I mean, basically right now they're telling dudes don't even dap each other up after games, even though you can bang all over each other during the course of the game. Let's not dap each other up after the game and things of that nature, as we saw with Bradley Beal and Jason Tatum, you know, the other night when they played Boston. Do you see any possibility where at some point – maybe Adam Silver just has to say, hey, maybe we just need to take a week, shut things down, give everybody a chance to quarantine here a little bit? Because, you know, some teams right now are a little bit luckier than others. You're going to have teams get a lot of games in, and right now teams like the Wizards are not. And at some point, you know, that becomes a competitive imbalance issue in terms of your standings and trying to complete a regular season here. At some point, do you see maybe the league having to potentially consider that here at some point?
You know, I'm not going to rule that out. And I think everything you just said makes perfect sense. And I wouldn't be totally shocked if that were the case, because how could anybody in the world be shocked about anything that could happen, you know, in regards to this virus at this point that we've been dealing with for just such a long time. But that being said, I don't think the league is quite there yet. You know, they expected cases, the expected postponements, they expected all these things. I don't know if they expected it to the degree that they're having it, to be honest, even though they decided to start during what is clearly the height of the pandemic. They knew cases would be going up all over the country following Thanksgiving, following Christmas, following New Year's. Every single, you know, you didn't take an expert to be able to figure that out. But I don't think the league is there yet. It's not just because they want to get as many games as possible. One of the justifications that I've heard, and I believe this has actually been reported elsewhere as well, is that, you know, when players first came into training camp, I forget the exact numbers, but when players first came into training camp, there was a slew of positive tests from players. And now, even with these postponements, most of which are actually due to contact tracing, players being ruled ineligible because of contact tracing, as opposed to players being ruled ineligible because of positive tests. You know, the Wizards right now have more positive tests than any other team in the league. The other games that we've seen, it's all contact tracing stuff. There are still fewer positive tests in the league right now by a pretty hefty margin than there were when players came into training camp. And so I think that has led some people in the league to operate, maybe correctly, under the assumption that players are still safer when the league is going on. If you take a week off, now all of a sudden, guys aren't necessarily following those protocols. Maybe guys are more prone to go out and do COVID unfriendly activities, go indoor dine, do things like that, which are against the league's protocols now. So I think that's one of the things that's keeping the league open. But ultimately, look, I mean, the NBA decided to start in the height of the pandemic, unexpectedly early, roll out new COVID protocols and edited protocols many, many times throughout the season, right? We saw ones at the start of the year. We saw new protocols in the beginning of December and in the middle of December, and we saw new ones earlier this week, and we've seen other ones in between. And ultimately, the reason the league started early, everybody knows it was reported at the time, is because they could have made a lot more money if they started right before Christmas. And ultimately, that's what this comes down to. And I think as long as the league thinks it's being up to their standards of safe and it's able to get games out, it's able to bring revenue in, I think ultimately we know what decision it's going to make, because that's kind of that was the motivation for starting the season early. And, you know, if it continues to play, I'm sure it'll be a large part of the motivation for continuing to play.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I had to get those games on Christmas Day on TV. Had to get that TV money out there. Kyrie Irving gets docked $50,000 for his health and safety violations. It's been kind of an interesting week for Kyrie Irving, and now he's got a new teammate. Now, Irving is able to return on Saturday if he chooses to do so with the Brooklyn Nets. But just from a basketball perspective, Fred, your thoughts on Harden ending up in Brooklyn, and if Kyrie does indeed come back focused and ready to play, well, that's an interesting trio that Brooklyn has now to go forward with one goal in mind and one goal only, and that's to face LeBron and company in the finals.
Yeah, I mean, look, that trio is tremendously talented. People talk so much about how there's only one ball to share, and I get it. Kevin Durant has been an unbelievable off-ball player. To me, it more comes down in terms of the style to how James Harden is going to do playing next to two guys who are, you know, incredible scorers, and Kyrie Irving is the same. But to me, it's not the offense. You know, yes, James Harden is prone to isolating a lot, and same thing with Kyrie Irving, and same thing with Durant, even though that guy is just elite on every single possible action you could imagine. But they're all amazing at isolating. They're all amazing at running pick and rolls. I mean, I think this, and they all shoot. So I think this offense is still, even if it has weird, clunky problems, it's going to have weird, clunky problems on the way to being a really, really good offense at the absolute worst, and maybe, or maybe even likely, a great offense. So I'm not worried about that part. To me, it's going to come down to, can that team defend well enough? Because ultimately, you don't really have a chance at winning a title, and that's what your ultimate goal is if you have a defense in the bottom half of the league. It is so rare for a team that has a defense in the bottom half of the league to even win the conference. It is so rare. And usually, you end up seeing your title winners and even your conference winners with top 10 defenses. So something is going to have to click with that defense. And I don't really know where it's going to come from. I think Kevin Durant is their best defensive player of the starters. Durant can really be awesome defensively. when he turns it on. He's an awesome team defender, help defender, weak side shot blocker, and he can be good on the ball. And you know, other than him, there just aren't really a ton of great defenders out there. They gave up Jared Allen in the deal. The defense was already slipping, even though I believe it was in the top half of the league, just barely at the time of the trade. I think they were 13th in points allowed per possession. So we'll see what ends up happening on the defense. And to me, ultimately, that's what's going to decide. I think in the regular season, they're going to win a lot of games, and we're going to see when they go up against Milwaukee or Miami or Philly or whomever else, how is that defense going to survive in a seven-game series? And to me, that will be the difference in whether or not that team ultimately accomplishes its goal of winning a title.
Yeah, to your point, too, I mean, the Lakers right now third in the league in defense. So the defending champs have come out focused, 10-3 so far on the year, and playing defense at a pretty high level. Talking to Fred Katz of The Athletic, let's talk about the guy here. I mean, Brad Beal, in I don't want to say in relative anonymity, because, you know, you guys do as much as you possibly can to write about Bradley Beal and the great things he's doing. I mean, he's averaging just under 35 a game, six better than anybody else in the league. And yet right now, this franchise, for whatever reason, just can't get the results that they're looking for. How far away are they? You know, obviously the Thomas Bryant injury hurts. Guy was shooting nearly 65% from the field with his contribution. But how far away are they from at least those bottom teams we're talking about, one of which right now is Brooklyn, who's just a game over 500, but how far away are they from those teams in your mind right now, and can they get there is ultimately the question.
When you say those teams, you mean the Lakers and the Milwaukee's of the
world? No, the teams at the bottom of the East right now.
Oh, okay.
You know, teams at the bottom of the East.
I'm just
Fred, I'm just trying to get into the neighborhood, man. I'm not trying to pound for an Eastern Conference championship. I just want them to matter, you know? Like the Washington football team that did this year. They mattered at the end. I just want this team to matter, man. That's all.
That is, you sound like a true Washington sports fan.
Dude. Absolutely.
I will say the play-in tournament makes a difference here. They're, you know, they got 10 out of the 15 teams in the East who are going to be able to get into either the play-in or the playoffs. What's weird about this team is that their struggles are like a moving target. It's like they're playing defensive whack-a-mole, because every night they give up 115 or 125 or 132 or 141 or whatever, right? And every night it happens, and it seems to be happening for a different reason. One night, their communication on switches is just really, really, really off. And then another night, teams are pulverizing them at the rim. And another night, they often overfoul, but the overfouling is just what does them in to a crazy degree. Another night, it's their three-point defense. And I'll give some optimism to Wizards fans right now, because there's something that's incredibly strange about their defense, which right now is fourth to last in the NBA in points allowed per possession. And there's something incredibly strange about their defense, which is that if you look at their shot profile, they are actually one of the best defenses in the NBA at forcing shots that defenses want to give up. They give up the fewest proportion in the NBA at the rim, which is great. It means they're not giving up layups and they're not giving up dunks. And they give up the largest proportion in the mid-range area, which is also great. It means that they are giving up the most of the most inefficient shot in the league. I mean, that's what you want. Defense is really their main objective, is less so bothering a shot once the shot goes up. It's more just forcing undesirable shots. And the Wizards are doing that. They're giving up lots of long twos. They're giving up very few layups and dunks. They're not giving up a lot of corner threes. And if you look at some of the advanced numbers that really dig into it, they've been considered by a lot of these advanced numbers one of the least lucky teams in the league. Now, I'm not arguing that they're sneakily some sort of juggernaut defense, because that's clearly not the case. But if you want some optimism, if you want them to just, like, not necessarily buy a house in the gated home, but just, like, be able to get some sort of rope and climb over the gate so they're in the neighborhood, there's your rope. Because I think it's plausible that they are not the fourth to last defense in the league. when the season plays out. Of course, they have to have their players in order for that to happen. Thomas Bryant being out is not a good thing. He's worked very hard. He's become a very, very helpful player. He's getting better. He's 23. I'm sure he'll continue to get better. But Robin Lopez is a better defender than Thomas Bryant. I think Robin Lopez's minutes going up is going to help the defense a little bit. You know, I think maybe if Bonga ends up getting back in the rotation, that could help the defense a little bit. Ultimately, we have to see, you know, who's able to play and who's not able to play when they're coming out of this stretch. But if their luck just regresses to the norm, and look, some of this is that these shots are just coming comfortably. They're coming within the rhythm of the offense. And a shot within rhythm is a lot easier than a shot from the same location that's, you know, forced with 2 seconds left on the shot clock. So again, this is not to say that the Wizards are going to be 13th in defense even by the end of the year, but maybe they'll be like 22nd. And if they end up proving to be a top 7 or 8 offense, like they've shown throughout the year, all of a sudden that's your, you know, now they're playing 500 ball the rest of the year, as opposed to playing 3-8 ball the rest of the year, which is what they've been doing so far, which is not an elite team. And you could still argue it's a team that, you know, needs to make massive changes without question, but it's better than the product that you've seen so far, at least. And, you know, you wanted a rope to get into the, neighborhood. So there it is.
There it is. Sounds long enough for me. I'll take my chances. We'll get Brad on that rope, get him climbing up there right now. Fred, great stuff as always. Appreciate the visit here today.
Yes, thanks for having me.
You got it. Fred Katz of The Athletic. Great coverage of the Wizards. And obviously, you know, guys like him, Shams Charania with The Athletic, they do a super job covering the association. It's not just the Woj tour out there in terms of media coverage. Fred does a great job. So capitalize on that opportunity to get some coverage today. Your thoughts at 1-800-636-1067. AAA Always On Call listener line. Share some thoughts I've seen on Twitter from some of you out there. And we return right here on 1067 The Fan. Welcome back, 1-800-636-1067, AAA Always On Call, listener line. Shout out to our Richmond audience listening today down there on 9:10 a.m. Big win for the Midlothian girls down there last night. Really sad throughout the area to see a lot of other areas being able to play their high school sports right now. Right now in Maryland, we aren't doing a thing. Hoping to get some D.C. basketball with those schools coming up in February. No guarantee of that, though. No, a lot of officials that are sitting on the sidelines waiting with bated breath. My man Chris in Hyattsville has a wacky idea. Chris, you're on 106.7 The Fan. Hello.
Pete, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man. How you doing?
Can you hear?
I got you.
Yeah, look, I know you're a big sports aficionado. You do it all. You cover sports. You talk about sports. You officiate sports, right?
Yep.
We all grew up playing basketball outside. There are AAU teams that play their entire league outside. Why couldn't the NBA pick, I don't know, maybe 4 cities across the country to accommodate, you know, East, Southeast, West, Midwest, whatever, and, you know, in cool climates that aren't extreme, you know, like, I don't know, Arizona, Los Angeles, San Diego, Orlando, whatever, and play some outdoor basketball. I'm not kidding, because we know the transmission rates for COVID are extremely low at outdoors. Little leagues, baseball, football have had scarce, if any, transmissions for young players transmitting or contracting COVID from one another in outdoor leagues. My son completed an entire season of baseball last fall, and there was literally not a single case that occurred. A friend of mine, I think you might know a friend of ours named Brian Aiken,
yep,
was telling me that, you know, they completed, Pee Wee or Pop Warner Football
League.
I
help oversee the program that Brian's team plays in. You know, we got the entire season in. We had to we did specifically shorten the playoffs because we did not want to run the risk of more teams and needing to complete more games. So that was the only thing we did. We shortened the regular season and we shortened the playoffs by a week just so we could get the entire season in. But you're right. You're right. Here's the problem with that. And look, I mean, I'm all for it. Let's go down to Berry Farms. Let's go down to Berry Farms and play some games. Let's go to Rucker Park and play some games. I'd love to see that. Love to see that. Here's the problem, though. We have seen these situations. You don't want – I don't think you want these high-priced athletes playing that many games on concrete courts, first of all. Second of all, if you bring the wood floors in, you notice a couple years ago, you know, we had teams trying to play these games on aircraft carriers and things like that, and it was a great idea while it lasted. The problem was the condensation possibilities are endless when it comes to playing outside. Even though you mentioned playing in specific environments where the weather is a little bit more cooperative, but even in a place like Florida right now where you go from warm during the day to cooler at night when we lose the solar heating, the condensation opportunities would be immense. And if one guy, all it takes is one guy to go down, you know, with an ankle, a knee, something like that because of condensation on a court, and then this whole idea will have looked horrendous. It will have looked horrendous. I'm all for playing at Rucker Park and Berry Farms. Let's go do that. The problem is you don't want these athletes playing on concrete courts. You don't want them playing on concrete courts for a large amount of games. Yeah, well, I mean, Kevin would go show up at Berry Farms and play games. We saw Gilbert Arenas would go over to Berry Farms and play games. It's okay to go out there and play some pickup and things of that nature, but you don't want those athletes with the way they hit the ground consistently during the course of a game. I watched a game the other night, college game. Kid goes up for a rebound, comes down, and, I mean, he just lands flat on his lower back. You do that on concrete as opposed to that wood, not that either is great, but you run the risk of more damage out there. And while in theory it's a good idea because your transmission facts as they are correct, you just can't get those athletes, those high-paid athletes who we invest so much in and these teams invest so much in, playing outside. There's just too many things and the variables that can happen there that could affect the game and affect the product for a longer period of time. It'd be great to see an exhibition up at Rucker Park or Berry Farms, though. That'd be great. But unfortunately, I don't think you could play regular season games from that aspect. 1-800-636-107 is how you reach us here on the AAA Always On Call listener line. Update time here on The Fan. 1-800-636-1067, AAA Always On Call listener line. Love the thought process from Chris in Hyattsville. It would be great to see NBA players under the lights at Rucker Park or Berry Farms. It would be fantastic. Problem is, it wouldn't be sustainable. You know, we've seen some big time ballers show up at Berry Farms. It's okay for a once in a while out on the concrete type deal, but unfortunately, you wouldn't be able to sustain that if you tried to bring in hardwood. The condensation issues, and they had that, you know, playing out on aircraft carriers and everything like that. They've tried to do that so they could bring some of those games to the troops. The problem is, condensation's a crusher. Just crushes you. And there's just no perfect environment for you to be able to do that. And in theory, look, it's a great idea because, I mean, I umpired softball from July all the way through the fall. Okay? We had that opportunity because of outdoor sports. I mean, outdoors, that's why they're, I'm hoping in some capacity, you know, right now we're watching teams in Virginia play games indoors. You know, state of Maryland, haven't been able to do much. All across the state. I feel for those kids right now. They just haven't been able to do anything. And, you know, even if we were to have some sort of sensationalized high school season, private schools in Maryland have played some games by using faux names. Change the name a little bit. So you're not necessarily, for lack of a better example, you're not, you know, Paul the Sixth or something like that. They've changed names. But even the WCAC is getting some games together. DeMatha and St. Mary's Riken played the other night. DeMatha won by like 50 in that contest just because you get, you know, teams that just haven't been able to do a whole lot together from an indoor capacity. Share some of the thoughts on Twitter here. Get a little Twitter update from some of the things that we've talked about during the show. And if you want to talk about them, please do it. 1-800-636-1067 on the AAA Always On Call listener line. Talked about, you know, some of the ideas about the name. And, you know, I think most of you are understandable about, you know, what the team has had to do in terms of the name. Some of you are are in favor of just going with Washington. Some of you actually do like, you know, Washington football team. You know, we saw Chase Young invest in that gold, you know, for that chain, to making that commitment there in terms of that. Earl says that, you know, he's a no-name change, but he says it'll all work out well in the end. And what could have happened, you know, I thought he brought up a good idea. And it's too late to do it now, unfortunately, because we've played a full season escaping the former name. But I think he and maybe some others may have been more, amenable to this, is do what Cleveland's going to do. Play one more season with that name and then, quote, retire it, you know, as Cleveland's going to do maybe in some sort of ceremony. He said maybe that would have been, you know, a way for the fans to at least, you know, pay homage to the name that has obviously led this franchise for so many years one more time. You know, we talked about, you know, again, we talked about, you know, the teams and everybody on social media seemingly now on board, even the Washington football team and even other teams supporting the Washington football team. And, you know, free advertising, as Bobby Blanco said, online. And it seemed like for years the Washington football team was the outlier in that category, and they are no longer, and they're getting that support back from the other teams. We saw that going into the playoffs last week. Rob Seaver said he's all on the name remaining Washington football club or team. You know, he doesn't want to see another name out there. I mean, you know, would you be in line for that? I mean, Washington FC, does it sound like soccer? Yeah, sure. You know, and I think some of us, this year, because of the success on the football field, we kind of forgot about it. And I think that's great. And ultimately, that's what I think. We can name them anything they want. As long as Ron Rivera and company keep winning football games, then you can call them whatever you want. My man, the D.C. Sports Messiah, my man Troy, loves eating those Sonic hot dogs at lunch. Next week, by the way, we're going to hit hot dogs and fast food. I've got an angle there I want to hit coming up next week. And we were talking about the Caps early in the show. He said the Caps actually looked like they had some kind of plan, identity, and approach last night. And he thinks that the most important thing to look for in the first five to eight games is if they can keep that up, essentially at the level that Peter Laviolette is trying to get them to play with. Let's go to the phones at 1-800-636-1067. AAA Always On Call listener line. Mike's in Herndon. Mike, you're on 106.7 The Fan. Hello.
Hey, Big Pete. How's it going?
Going well, sir. How are you?
Good, good. Just want to make a quick comment. I'm really indifferent in towards the name. I don't really care. I didn't really care about the name change when they were first discussing it either. So it really doesn't make a difference to me in terms of what they're called. But I think going back to Jason Wright's comments and just maintaining the identity as far as where we're located and the history of the team, if we can keep those two points in line with what he's saying for the new name, then sure, that's great. I'm all for it. And then also just one other thing here I wanted to mention, you know, with the Laviolette era, you know, he's a no-nonsense coach. I'm really happy we got him. I think he's perfect for the group, for the core group and for the players that we have. And I think he's going to hold players accountable, especially, you know, the likes of Kuznetsov, who's been a defensive liability for the past couple of seasons. So, you know, I'm hoping that'll carry over into the playoffs. And I'm hoping we can make a deep run this season. Thanks a lot, Pete.
Mike, appreciate the call. I mean, look, last night for 1 of 56 – you know, and as I said back in the very first hour when we were talking about this, you know, the fact that you scored 6 goals last night and Alexander Ovechkin had 0, okay, to me, that's as much an important thing that came out of last night's game as anything. Talked about it, you know, on this show leading up to the season. The power play had to be more than just Ovi from the circle. It had to be more than just Ovi from the circle. And last night, that was the case. Peter Laviolette says, hey, let's get the puck on the net. Brendan Dillon throws one at the net. It makes it all the way through the traffic, and the coin gets deposited in the bank. One of the least likely guys. You know, ended a long scoring drought. He's one of the least likely guys you'll see score a goal. But that if you're going to win games, you're going to win games against important people, you know, pucks like that from Brendan Dillon are going to have to find their way through the maze and through the traffic. They had so much traffic in front of the net that that puck gets all the way through, you know. And that's how a Brendan Dillon scores a goal, you know. You're going to have Carlson and Schultz that are going to be pushing that puck from the back. You know, last night, power play entry, you know, let's get it up. Let's carry it in through the wing instead of just get across, you know, center ice. Let's say, hey, let's dump it in. Let's go chase it. Then set up. You know, when somebody has possession of the puck, it saves you valuable seconds on puck entry into the zone on a power play. And that you can't put a value on that in how much time you're saving and how you're moving the puck around when someone enters the zone with possession, as opposed to you having to spend, you know, sometimes upwards of 8 to 10 seconds chasing it to get possession and get your power play set up. So if they can, and obviously good health is going to, you know, play a part in this. They're going to have to keep guys like Oshie and those guys healthy. But if they can keep that balance on the power play and even make that second group, a threat every time they're out there in terms of the power play. One thing I will say, and it's amazing, it is an amazing skill that Nicklas Backstrom has. You go back and you want to look at guys and their ability. You know, a lot of guys want to just, boom, I got the puck, I'm going to get it up the ice, I got to get rid of it. Nicklas Backstrom is a guy that possesses, and almost like a basketball player, so skilled in what he wants to do with the puck. Every time he does something, there's no wasted movement. Every time he possesses it, his next pass, he's looking to do something with it. It's not just haphazardly throwing the puck up the ice. Every time he gets it, he wants to pass it to someone, even if it is a backwards pass. You know, with something in mind about, hey, we're going to keep possession of the puck. I'm not just going to haphazardly throw this thing up the ice where the other team might be able to get it. And even though you're just trying to advance the puck up the ice and you play it off the boards, you're still giving the other team ample opportunity to get it. Backstrom has it, possesses it, and passes it like very few players I've ever seen. Like very few players I've ever seen. I've been watching hockey for a long time, you know. And the thing about his game that you value so much, and in terms of even on the power play, you know, if anything he's guilty of at times is wanting to make the perfect pass sometimes. But the great thing is when you're possessing it, the other team can't score with it. And that's what I love about Nicklas Backstrom and his ability with the puck in his possession. We saw more of that on the opening night. Great to see him finally get his first season opening goal. 1-800-636-1067. AAA Always On Call listener line. We're 15 minutes away from talking to John Clayton. Coming up with Grant and Danny at 2 o'clock, Ryan Kerrigan joins them on their show this afternoon. Keep it locked in right here on 106.7 The Fan. Took Maryland a little while in the first half. In the final 4 minutes, they got control of the game against Wingate. Division II team, Maryland brought in to play a game with the game against Nebraska being postponed. Aaron Wiggins, super first half, 5 of 9 from the field, 3 of 6 from three-point range, also 5 of 6 at the free throw line. It was like a 5-point game, and then boom, and it escalated to 47-34 by the break. Keem Hart with a 3, in fact, a couple of them in that first half for the Terps in that one as they lead Wingate 47-34. Francis Seale is a good player for Wingate. Cottingham, the other really good player. Maryland held him in check in the first half. He's just 1 of 6 from the field. Terps trying to get to 8-6 on the year. And as I said before, it's great that Mark Turgeon, you know, Damon Evans went out and got this game because you got players that are doing what they're supposed to and, you know, working hard in this pandemic, you know, to stay positive. You want to try and reward him with as much competition as possible. So the Terps go out and schedule this game against a very dangerous D2 team. As I said, they got a win over Queens, who beat Howard and probably should have beaten George Mason earlier this year. Also played a competitive game against Belmont. Queens played 3 different Division I teams, going out and get those checks. That's what it's all about for some of those teams. Very dangerous clubs indeed. We're about 10 minutes away from talking to John Clayton on the NFL coming up top of the hour. Interesting point from somebody on Twitter. Said the Players Union probably not real thrilled at the DJ LeMahieu deal. And as we talk about, you know, annual value and term when you put them together, and original reports had it last night potentially closing in on a 5-year. It ends up being a 6-year deal. It ends up being a 6-year deal right now at $90 million. 6 years, $90 million for DJ LeMahieu with the Yankees. So, I mean, that's an annual value of 15 per. It's an annual value of 15 per. Now, as you know, again, somebody said on Twitter, it's probably the union probably not real thrilled with that deal. But guess what? At some point, these deals are going to stop escalating into the stratosphere. You know, right now, being able to capture that money is very difficult, even for franchises like the Yankees. If we don't have people in the stands, and you got to believe we're not going to start off the season with people in the stands. You know, I mean, it's ambitious to even start training or spring training on time, which is, you know, right now, Major League Baseball's plan. You know, that's Major League Baseball's plan is to start on time with spring training. And you hope over the course of the schedule that they're able to do that, because maybe it gives you a little more leeway once you get into the season in April, and if you have to postpone some games and reschedule, you know, are we rescheduling with 7-inning doubleheaders this year, you know, like we had on the schedule last year? You know, Davey Martinez talked about, hopeful of that. He said he was in, you know, he liked that rule, you know, for the pitchers and straining your pitching staff. That's actually a way, I think, to improve their health and keep them healthy. Traditionalists are going to hate it. You know, traditionalists are going to want, we want 9-inning games. Give us 9. Got to have 9. I'm telling you right now, I don't think many of your customers would complain 7 over 9. I really don't. I mean, we talk about keeping people at the ballpark sometimes right now 3.5-4 hours. You know, you don't show up right at first pitch, so many of you are making even more of an investment in that. You're coming there, you're eating some of the great food at the ballpark, so you're arriving really early. You know, maybe getting them out of there. And maybe you make more of that money up by people coming into your ballpark and eating, per se. Maybe it's a way. But, you know, the annual value on some of these contracts, man, at some point, it's got to come out of the stratosphere. It's got to come out of the stratosphere and get a little more realistic. DJ LeMahieu's deal, in my mind, 6 years and for a guy at $15 million, I don't want to say that's a bargain, because you are on the hook for it for 6 years. That at $15 million per, you got other guys probably looking around the league, got other owners and GMs around the league going, hey, look at that. Did you see that? The Yankees only signed him to a $15 million per deal. Now, we don't know the intimate details of the contract. Maybe it's, tiered a little bit, where he gets a little more money early in the contract and the money on the back end of the contract not as deep, you know, until you see some of that. But still, there are owners and general managers taking note of that deal right now. If you're a guy like George Springer, who's still out there, you know, as we said, a lot of the reports have the Mets and Blue Jays allegedly showing him the most attention right now. You know, you still got Michael Brantley, you know, guy that's like 32 or 33 years old. It's still out there right now. Certainly don't expect Washington to be in on those guys, but you know, from a pitching standpoint right now, you know, what does a Masahiro Tanaka look like on the open market right now? You see a DJ LeMahieu, and I know pitching is different, but it's going to make those prices right now look a little bit interesting. I think a lot of people were hypothesizing about $6 to $8 million on Kluber, who had that workout on Wednesday with about 25 teams in attendance to take a look at that. What do you value him at right now? You know, what do you value if you're the Nats? What do you value that fourth starting spot in your rotation at? You know, do you have some legitimate interest there in that player? I think that's an interesting look Right now, if you're trying to strengthen your rotation, if the price is right, you certainly, I think you definitely have interest there. But at this point, I mean, what does, you know, what did that 25 pitch performance the other day show you, or 30 pitch performance, you know, in that bullpen session? Does that show you enough, you know, to make an $8 million commitment to a guy? I can't imagine anybody's going to go more than 1 year on him at this point. So we'll see. I think we'll see in the next couple of days if anybody has some legitimate interest in Kluber coming off of that bullpen session from Wednesday. In case you missed it, top of the hour and the updates, Armando Cruz definitely a National now. We've seen that likely to happen. We've seen him with all the Nats stuff on, and he is one of 11 that the Nats brought in. Baltimore, by the way, he used to never dabble in the international market. Well, that's changed. They signed 17 that they have announced today. Coming up, we talk NFL with the great John Clayton. We'll do that next right here on 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.